Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260, a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. Today's program, lesson number 6 of week number 40, studying Mark chapter 12. As we begin, these reminders. For all of our free resources, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For text updates, text IGHFREE, all one word, to this number, 55222. To study the Bible online, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. To study the Bible by mail, call this toll-free number, 1-855-IGH-6988, to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to request that series. Miss any recent programs? You can always access these broadcasts at internationalgospelhour.com/IGH260. Remember this, as we study Mark, the move from where we are to where we need to be, in other words, to get to the be like Jesus model, that will never be far away from any text that we are studying at the moment. No passage will ever be far from modeling Jesus. No text will ever be far from God's desire for our faith, our repentance, our death to self and sin, and then alive to and for Christ in baptism, and the need for our ongoing, our daily surrender to Jesus from that point forward. It's always there. It's anticipated in the opening verses of Mark the first chapter, and it's realized in the closing verses of Mark chapter 16. Let's return to our study of Mark 12, verses 1 through 12, Jesus' parable, the vineyard and the vine dressers, the history of prophets' persecution in miniature, the religious leaders' response to Jesus' parable. The last verse in this section, Mark 12, verse 12, told us that the religious leaders feared the multitude. There's nothing here to indicate that the crowds either physically threatened or intimidated these leaders. The multitudes were, as we noted in our last study, very much attuned, very sympathetic to Jesus' teaching. In Matthew 22, verse 30, we read, "And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished at his teaching." That's the multitudes who were astonished at the teaching of Jesus. We saw the same attitude toward Jesus at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And so it was, when Jesus had ended these sayings, that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. That's Matthew 7, 28 and 29. Jesus' teaching, generally, and his ability to rebuff the challenges of those who tested him specifically, that impressed the people in the multitudes. Later in this chapter, we will see that after Jesus successfully questioned and then silenced the religious leaders about the Messiah-David relationship, that Mark tells us the common people heard him gladly. Mark 12, verse 37. The religious leaders were afraid of the multitude because, generally, the crowds favored Jesus. To openly attempt to take Jesus in the presence of the multitude would be quite risky. In the last chapter, Mark 11, verse 18, we read this, "And the scribes and chief priests heard it, and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him, because all the people were astonished at his teaching." Luke echoes that, "And he was teaching daily in the temple. But the chief priests, the scribes, and the leaders of the people sought to destroy him, and were unable to do anything, for all the people were very attentive to hear him." That's Luke 19, 47 and 48. The first segment of Mark chapter 12 ends with several very sobering thoughts. First, the religious leaders sought to take Jesus, that is, to arrest and imprison Jesus for the purpose of having him stand trial. and, in the end, to have Jesus put to death. Second, the fear that these leaders had of the crowd would prompt them to take Jesus in secret rather than in public. That's what will take place later in the Garden of Gethsemane. Third, all of this will fulfill First Testament prophecy. And finally, fourth, it will all happen because of hardened, recalcitrant hearts. Jesus' parable of the wicked vine dressers indicted the scribes, the priests, and the elders, but it did nothing to change their hearts and to change their minds. In fact, it only made them more resolute in their determination to see Jesus dead. In Mark 12, 13-17, the Pharisees and the Herodians challenged Jesus about paying taxes to Caesar. Jesus' hearers marveled. This section of Mark 12 starts off by telling us what they did. The pronoun they identifies the priests, the scribes, and the elders. They have been part of an ongoing dialogue or debate with Jesus going back to Mark chapter 11, verse 27. What did they do? They sent the Pharisees and the Herodians to catch Jesus in his words. Without going into much detail, we have five groups of religious leaders identified in this larger context. The first three, mentioned in chapter 11, verse 27 and following, were the priests, the scribes, and the elders, who were engaged in dialogue, engaged in debate with Jesus through chapter 12, verse 12. And then the last two, mentioned here in chapter 12, verse 13 and following, were the Pharisees and the Herodians. We will not take the time to note what distinctives characterized each group. First, because it would take more time than necessary. Second, because these five groups are not as distinct as we might think. There's considerable overlap between some of them. And then third, because it will not dramatically impact what we can glean from the text without that knowledge. The word catch in this context sounds innocent enough, but a quick glance at other translations tells us that the word means trap, or entrap, or ensnare. One translation renders the text as so that they might make use of his words to take him by a trick. Bauer defines the term as catch unawares. Referencing this particular text, Bauer notes that they might catch him in an unguarded statement. The Pharisees and the Herodians, it appears, hoped to catch him in a careless word. Note carefully the method employed by the Pharisees and the Herodians. First, they flattered Jesus. They called Jesus teacher. They claimed to know that you, Jesus, are true. They stated that Jesus cared for no one. They said that Jesus did not regard the person of man. And finally, they declared that Jesus taught the way of God in truth. These five statements, the last four appearing in a unique order, were all part of the trap that they laid. All five of the statements were true. Jesus was a teacher. What Jesus taught was indeed true. Jesus did not subscribe to what any man or tradition or group taught in order to determine what was right and what was wrong, scripturally speaking. And of course, Jesus taught God's way in truth. The unique order can be seen in that the first and fourth statements, after they addressed Jesus as teacher, made the same claim. And the middle two, one right after the other, did so as well. Though everything the Pharisees and the Herodians said about Jesus was true, they did not believe that Jesus was a teacher of truth. If they did, why were they so intent to trap Jesus? Before we get to their questions, actually the same question, just asked two different ways, note this. The Pharisees and the Herodians said, "We know that you are true," chapter 12, verse 14. Claims to know are all over Scripture. The word rendered as know in this text, one of many terms translated as some form of know or knowledge in the New Testament, this term appears 320 times from Matthew through Revelation. That might not seem to be too important at first, but consider this. The last time that the word appears in Mark was in chapter 11, verse 33, where the priests, scribes, and elders, in answer to Jesus' question about John's baptism, said, "We do not know." In both cases, the religious leaders in chapter 11 and those in chapter 12, their use of the word know betrays not only what they truly should have known, it also reveals who they were and just how far they were from being Jesus' kingdom disciples. The first group, the scribes, elders, and priests, did not know, or so they said, whether or not John's baptism was divinely authorized, that is, whether or not John was a true prophet, a true messenger from God. How could they miss that? Something was amiss in their hearts. They willfully rejected who John was, and in context, they were all about challenging and eventually rejecting who Jesus was. And now, this second group, the Pharisees and the Herodians, the ones sent by the first group to continue challenging Jesus, they claimed to know that Jesus was true, verse 14 of chapter 12, and that Jesus taught the way of God in truth. It's not just ironic that they claimed to know what they did not really believe. It's sad. It was wrong. They lied when they said that they knew that Jesus was true. Finally, after making claims that they did not believe in, and after flattering Jesus, the Pharisees and the Herodians got around to asking their questions. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Shall we pay or shall we not pay? Chapter 12, verses 14 and 15. If you have read this text before, or one of the parallel passages in Matthew 22 or Luke chapter 20, then you know that their attempt to trap Jesus failed. Why? What did they hope their questions would accomplish? Their questions, though ostensibly about the lawfulness of paying taxes to Caesar and nothing more, was actually a bit more complicated than that. A large segment of the Jewish population resented Roman occupation of their land. They resented their fellow Jews who collected taxes for the Romans. They would be more than happy for the Romans to leave their country, either peacefully or otherwise. If Jesus endorsed paying taxes to Caesar, he would have been at odds with many of his own countrymen. But if Jesus opposed paying taxes to Caesar, he might have so alarmed the Roman occupiers that he would have been considered an insurrectionist and thus charged with some crime against the empire. It would appear, then, that there was no good way to avoid this conundrum. Until, of course, we hear Jesus' answer. This reminder as we close, to start our free online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.